Hebrews chapter 2, verse 8. This is the one we studied for like 2 weeks in the morning Bible study.
Speaking of which,
but I noticed. Well, anyway, it's the way to introduce the offerings, and since Judy chooses not to, and most of the time Gary misses.
Some people stop coming.
Hey, I taught this morning.
Good.
That's a point.
Hebrews 2, verse 8. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. Now, the thou is God, and his is Jesus Christ. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. To a believer, if you see all things put under him, you can be at rest. It doesn't matter what condition you're in. You can be broke, you can be bankrupt, you can be in pain, you can be in any state of being there is on the face of the earth. And if you know that it's under the authority of God and it's under him, you can rest in it. Not only can you rest, you can also have joy and peace in it. And not only that, but you can glory in it. You understand that? That's the grace that God gives us to endure what we consider, what the world would consider, these incredible personal hardships. That's the mystery of faith. Therefore, and hear this carefully, if you see him in something, then it isn't chastisement. Can you hear that? I mean, it may start out to be a little bit.
Said, well, it isn't punishment. It isn't chastisement.
Remember, anything that you consider negative, anything that any individual person considers negative, is God's chastisement. Your elbow hurts. God is chastising you.
You're doing a good job, Robert.
Your wife has left you. God is chastising you. Unless you wanted her to leave you.
Unless you caused her to leave.
Even if you caused it.
Is the reverse also true?
What's the reverse?
That it's only chastisement if you don't see God in it?
That's right. Okay, can you hear that? Can you grab hold of that? If you flee chastisement, according to the scriptures, then you're a bastard. You're not a legitimate son or child. So what's the alternative? How do you flee chastisement? You flee it by taking it into your own hands and deciding what you should do about it. Now, that's all some of you have done your entire life is flee chastisement. Because our culture rewards fleeing. You understand that? You're taught to flee. All that has done, all of the what we call improvements of mankind, all of the educational systems, all of the technology, all of the advancement of man has but one function, and that's to flee the chastisement of God. And man calls that progress. Everybody, can you grab hold of that? Let me show you.
It's like everything we invent or whatever to get out of one problem just turns out they have another problem anyway, so it never really works.
But it is.
But it's our attempt to...
Hebrews 12. Keep your finger in Hebrews 2 and go to Hebrews 12 a minute. We've just gone through in Hebrews 11, these guys that were stoned, they were scourged, they were imprisoned. They were sawn asunder, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. Democracy itself is an attempt to flee the chastisement of God. The Bill of Rights is man's attempt to flee the chastisement of God. The greatest instrument that has ever been invented to flee the chastisement of God is that television set. It consumes you, because when you are an observer of something, your mind gets distracted and you don't know, or you can escape this chastisement for a time in your mind. Now, the ancients only had one way of fleeing chastisement, and that was in their imaginations. And so they would create new things and new ideas and new stuff. This is big. This is really important. Now, let's look. So we got all this stuff. They're wandering around in deserts and in caves of the earth, and it says the world was not worthy. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. If they had been made perfect, then we wouldn't be necessary. Do you understand? So praise God they weren't made perfect. To be perfect is the Greek word that's used right here. It's a word that it not only means fully tested, it means whole, complete, total, lacking nothing. And the mystery of God is that this bride of God that's been prepared from Abel to who knows when, I hope pretty soon, and all of us are members of that bride, but no one is a member of the bride that fled chastisement. That's what this next verse is about. Wherefore, seeing we also are surrounded or compassed with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy, or it really is hooper, it should be instead of the joy that was set before him on the transfiguration, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He sat down, remember, because it's finished. And all he's waiting for is a body of people taken from every time and every place, every point in geography, every point in time, a body that knows it's finished. No longer believes the lie of the mind that says something is yet left to do. So that has to be the predicate. He sat down, that means we can sit down. We can know it's finished. If we don't know it's finished, then we can never understand chastisement. Because we will put the name of God in our fleeing from chastisement. Can you understand that? So, the predicate for all understanding of everything in this Bible is to know that it's finished. Everybody says, praise God, I believe in Jesus. I want him Lord in my life. No, you don't. If you want him Lord, then it's finished. Over. Done. Complete. Now. Well, what about? There is no what about. What if? There is no what if. Because it's only when you know it's finished can you understand chastisement. And if you don't understand chastisement, you will never understand the offerings and you'll never see Jesus. Now, can you see why the rarest thing in the universe is to hear the word of the Lord? That's why it says it's only for those that have ears to hear. Jesus said that phrase, I think, over 120 times in the Gospels. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. If you don't have ears to hear, you will ignore it, like some of you have done for 20 years. To who?
I'm the only one that's been here 20 years.
Instead of the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint or quit in your mind. And you quit by changing your status in your mind. Now, I know you all well enough. I don't even know Ken, but I know him well enough to know that 10,000 times you've had a, I know this is it. This girl is it. This marriage is it. This move is it. This job is it. This idea is it. It's never been it. Right? So unless you're Gary, who creates an it that's so far removed from reality that he can keep worshiping it for 20 years...
Yeah.
Now it was a direct hit. Did you understand the difference?
But you asked for it. I was trying to figure out which gear you were talking about.
That gear.
Now this Gary's only been around about 3 years. That Gary's been here 21 years.
Well, 1 year, 21 times.
Can you see what you do? And God, don't get mad at you. I mean, don't get mad about it. God created you to do that, so that you would push all barriers, so you would expand all horizons, so that you would see all as vain and futile.
Is it being a solution?
Something you think will give you peace or happiness or a solution? Or
it's going to work.
Some will work, finally.
We're all around Brandon.
California.
Right? You gotta show that one, ain't it?
Said, if only I could get organized.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's another one. Yeah.
That's a good one. Then you'd make
it. If only my wife would have heard the word.
Okay, but can you see that God is always standing? He's standing as the only light within that cavern of death, waiting until you stop. And once you stop, once you see the futility and the vanity of all fulfillment in any way other than in him, then your ears will be circumcised and all of a sudden you'll hear. Boom! Explosions will occur within your brain that have nothing to do with some it. I used to have hits all the time. I had a 5-year plan.
I've had explosions.
I had more than a 5-year plan. I had a plan to be president of the United States, and I was sure that I was going to do it. Dumb, I mean, if I were offered it now, I wouldn't take it. It's the dumbest. I mean,
bad job.
I mean, it's not. It has nothing to do with that. Huh?
Maybe for a day or two.
No, nothing. Zero. Zip. I used to think, okay, if I could go to the, all over the world, then I'd find it. Well, I've been all over the world, and there is no it there. And for a long, long time, I just had this compelling desire that I knew that if I could only go to New Jersey, then that would be it.
Did you really?
That's a sad
idea.
Only I could move to East Dallas.
I know, you only moved to Fort Lee.
But God, in his wisdom and his mercy, he called us from our mother's womb. His hand was on, us in all of that, waiting until we saw the horizons and we saw the futility. We saw the stupidity of it. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. You quit in your minds when you have a plan. Can you hear that? You quit in your minds. What?
I don't know why it happened, but after dinner I came back and I laid down to take a nap, and as I was falling asleep, it's like something parted, you know, the curtains parted, and I could see clearly into something, and it was, I was just infuriated when my friends at Dr. Pepper didn't promote me to, when my friend became vice president of advertising, I was supposed to become national advertising manager, and then I would become vice president of advertising, and instead of promoting me, they hired somebody from the outside, and I was just, it's probably the maddest I've ever been, and I was righteously indignant. And
did you throw keys at somebody?
I did all kinds of things. I accused people, I screamed.
Did you do this?
And, I mean, I was improperly treated. There was just no two ways about it. And as I was laying down, I remembered the things that I did to the people who made that decision, like getting drunk in Florida, and, I mean, just unbelievable things. And I realized that what they should have done was either press criminal charges and or fire me. Instead, they didn't fire me. They let me keep my job, and they gave me raises and stuff, and they treated me like a normal person, which I didn't deserve to be treated. I did some really bad things to these two men. And to be indignant that they didn't make me the national advertising manager was the biggest lie. And I don't know why it came clear, but it did. And that's what I was laughing about.
For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself.
Is that what Harry did?
Lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. Yes, you can. What you do is you faint in your mind by either going back or forward. You go back with some I should have been or I could have been, or you go forward with I will be. And you quit the moment.
I had myself absolutely convinced that I'd been wronged, blah, blah, blah. It's untrue.
You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Now, what does that mean?
You've not resisted to the point of risk of death?
And none of the scriptures ever have anything to do with you. You have not yet resisted unto the point of seeing the blood of Christ or the sacrifice of Christ. As we're going to see, Christ is all and in all. He doesn't need your imaginations to go backwards or forwards. For some of us, it may be necessary to see the blood of Christ that we have to have risk our own blood. I mean, it was for me. I had to see my own blood all over me a whole bunch of times. I pray it's not for you. But you have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against, desiring to leave the moment. Because the only sin left is unbelief. Do you understand me? Jesus said, The Holy Spirit, when he has come, he will convict the world of sin, out of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin. Because what they do? No, it says of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because they go to the Father, and of judgment because the prince of the world is judged. Now, to believe not on him in any moment in time means that you think that moment should be different. It's critical that you see this. Otherwise, this body of people will continue in this slothful state that we're in. Because you are the leaders and you are in sloth. Does everybody understand what I've said tonight so far? Pretty exciting. It's far more exciting than any idea that man can come up with. Because what happens? Every idea that man comes up with has to have this thing we call entropy. It has to denigrate over time. It has to dwindle and fall away and go to nothing. But everything about God's stuff, the deeper you look in, the more compelling it is. You're created that way. And that's why it's the sad state of affairs when you go to a church and you hear the same message. When you die, you're going to get a life insurance policy to go to heaven. Now go tell somebody about it. Over and over and over and over. The mystery of God is not about, you know, repeating spiritual retards. The mystery of God is about seeing Christ. All right, listen now. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint, quit, when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons or legitimate children. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, that's a terrible translation, it says if you flee chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. Now this should give you pause to consider the fear of God real carefully. Because if you and your ignorance have continued each time you're faced with something that you consider negative, if you have considered it as natural, therefore, to try to lean on your own arm of understanding to try to figure out what to do about that next step, then you are a bastard. You're an illegitimate spiritual child. And you have become, by definition, a vessel of wrath instead of a vessel of mercy. Now, I pray that this causes the fear of God to penetrate you. Now, but go back to Hebrews 2. Thou hast, verse 8, for thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now, we see not yet all put under him, but we see Jesus. Now, Hebrews 10, believe me, it says this. It says, by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. I think it's Hebrews 10, verse 20. To be perfected means that you are fully tested, perfect, complete, lacking nothing, and have fulfilled and are fulfilling and know your destiny in this universe. There is no such thing as blind faith. Blind faith is abject stupidity. Pure faith is knowing him. The knowledge of Jesus and faith are one and the same. But the knowledge of Jesus comes only through chastisement. The hallmarks of a saint are always humility and suffering, never buildings and success. Because he is seen only in the things that you suffer. Because it became him who is the captain of our salvation to be made perfect through suffering. Do you think you're going to get by with less? But suffering of all our partakers of, which is suffering, which is another word for chastisement. Every man on the face of the earth experiences suffering, but every man on the face of the earth doesn't know that he should stand still and see the salvation of God in the midst of it. Instead, they create device after device after device to flee that moment of chastisement. But we must be a people who lives and who teaches that there is no solution. That's why I hate psychobabble worse than I hate anything in the universe in terms of what goes on in terms of the Bible study people here. Because psychobabble is giving somebody some solution to some confession. And it needs to be castrated. Because you're teaching men to have no faith. If for you and for every man on the face of the earth, right now, this instant, for them, if they simply present themselves a living sacrifice, then they are called up spiritually into that new Jerusalem now. And in that new Jerusalem, everything is finished and complete now. And the only purpose that time and space have is to be transfigured by the renewing of our mind, that we would see Christ now as all and in all. That we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus. Now what does it mean to see Jesus? I know of no clearer way of seeing Jesus than to apprehend the offerings. In other words, what did it mean when it said, he has perfected forever by one offering them that are sanctified? Well, the book of Leviticus clearly details what the offering of Christ was in every aspect, so that it is impossible for you to be in any situation in life in which by seeing what he has already accomplished, you can be put at rest. And therefore you see Jesus as the offering for that thing that you consider negative. Now, I don't know anything more important to do on the face of the earth than to preach that and to teach that. To see him in his completeness, to see that there is no situation that can befall man that he hasn't already taken care of. Even stupidity. That's why we study the offerings. That's why we studied them, started in 1987 in this group. That's why we studied them again in 1990. And that's why we're going to study them again now, because you don't remember what we studied then. That's what this book is. This book, this is the offerings.
Maybe if you gave us a test.
Even stupid. Even having to repeat it.
swings come through your cycle.
Yeah, you have to do it three times.
Over and over and over.
Go to Matthew 13, verse 35, 34.
Can I ask you a question about what you were talking about when you came to the park? You said it was a bad translation. That was because this version speaks of...
Oh, you mean the instead of?
Of the difference between a person being chastised and not being chastised versus a person being chastised or fleeing so that therefore they're not chastised.
Right. The way it reads is that it gives the option. It makes it sound like there's an option of whether...
It sounded to me like that it was from God, that he chastised some and some were chastised not.
No, it's all our chastised. We said all our partakers. So that's why I said it was a bad translation.
Yeah, it says if you be without chastisement, it probably means like if you go outside or try and... some kind of weird way.
It means if you leave that moment, of which all are partakers, and all have the capacity to leave the moment by their mind or by their legs,
well, the other thing I was thinking, the seeing him and the knowledge of him are the same thing.
That's right.
That knowledge is not information, it's him.
It's lived it.
Yeah.
It's the rima of God. Yeah. It's the logos of God lived. And it becomes the rima. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing cometh by the rima of God.
Yeah. And you see him, you know him, you are him.
And that's why, I mean, these perverts around us say, well, just memorize the Bible, that'll get you there. Well, that's just horseshit. You have to live it.
The rima thing, you know, where it's really God having a very personal word just for you. That's one idea of rima. You know,
I think I'll break your other knee, Kat.
Just passing on some information
from Kenneth Copeland.
Word of faith movement. You know,
All these things spake Jesus unto the multitudes in parables. 34. All in Mark's version of this, it says all things are in parables, and but nothing exists that isn't a parable. In Matthew, he says all these things spake Jesus unto the multitudes in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. That's pretty heavy. We're not talking about looking and judging by your senses. The scriptures call you a brute beast if you do that. The thing that has been kept secret from the foundation of the world is that the Christ, that Jesus Christ, was crucified from before the foundation of the world, so that the mystery of these offerings was completed throughout time. So there was never a case, there was never a situation in which Jesus Christ was not seeable in it.
To himself.
Now, and it's our job, the only time you can speak the word of God is if you're speaking the same thing. God doesn't need somebody to give his interpretation of what the Bible means. That's ludicrous. Nobody cares what I think the Bible means. God cares that you would show that the Bible means Jesus Christ, the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world to the end of time. And so God cares the same thing that Jesus spoke of, that he will show how he was the fulfillment and he was every word in this Bible. So this Bible is words about this word of God, which is Jesus. That we might be able to see him, perceive him, apprehend him as all and in all, that we might never leave the place of rest. That we too have sat down. Now I beg of you to spiritually sit down tonight and never get up again. It's the perverts that teach you that you have something left to do. Can you hear that a little bit?
What I heard was, it's the difference between them trying to get somewhere and trying to stay somewhere.
He's already gotten there.
We are normally, naturally, by ourselves there. And these other things keep pulling us out and pulling us away.
Like this Antichrist. This instead of Christ.
I never thought of it that way, even talking about, you know.
Well, that's why Jesus Christ is not a moral option. He's not somebody you get to pick and choose that you believe or not believe. He's a cosmic fact of the finishedness of the universe. That's why I think words... Now, can you understand why the people spake of Jesus and they said, never a man spake like this? And if you're preaching the word of God, they will say that also of you. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. It's finished. It's done. It doesn't matter what your mind says. Doesn't matter what your emotions say. And that faith that says God is all and in all, Jesus Christ is all and in all right now, even in the midst of whatever the most severe suffering you can imagine, he's there. And you see him, and that he has effected it. He has completed whatever is necessary for you to be at peace in the midst of that. I have a feeling I shouldn't teach anymore. I should stop right here and let you apprehend that. That we might see Jesus. Notes to me, or to explain what I've just said.
Yeah, it all depends on the same point.
I guess I'm ignorant as to what the offerings are, or the terminology.
The peace offering and the meal offering, and the different grades and varieties of those five offerings complete every aspect of what any man could ever need at any time. Simply by the apprehension of those, you see what he has finished, and so you don't need to make any more offering. He did it for every possible situation that you can be in, whether it's interpersonal or financial or, you know, anything. And as we see that, then we see him, then we can really be at rest. And we can, too, sit down and be the co-inheritor. We can't inherit if we're still... scurrying. Like cockroaches when the light comes on. Can you see this?
Yeah, I can see real clearly tonight. You've teased me so many times about having...
Me tease you?
Having come to a point in my life where I cried out and spent about 2 seconds in the promise and then...
Headed straight to Babylon.
I've never been able to... I've laughed at it because it's funny, but I can see it tonight. I can certainly see how what I have believed in is a word faith, Christ. Jesus was poor and suffered the loss of all things so that I could have all things. I have definitely subscribed to that.
Please. I mean, teach this.
See, don't you love it when she does that?
See? I was just going to stare. I was going to, and I'm going to say, and the way you teach it is to live it. Thanks to Barbara.
Miss Perfect. Little Miss Perfect.
A blessing.
Little Miss Perfect.
A blessing.
Mr. and Miss Perfect.
Jack and Sally, Connecticut.
Okay. Anybody got anything else or any response? Okay, take a big guy.